Hey, Trojan fans, it's time to get into the huddle with the Peristyle Podcast. The Peristyle Podcast is your weekly ticket to USC football and recruiting news. Don't forget, you can download the podcast 24/7 at our website, peristylepodcast.com. And now, here's the host of the Peristyle Podcast, USCFootball.com publisher, Ryan Abraham.
Hello, Trojan fans. Welcome to the Peristyle Podcast. On a Monday, we are fresh off USC's spring showcase called the Spring Game. Over the weekend in the Coliseum, we had the media there, we had fans there, players, draft and teams, an actual game with quarters. We're going to talk about all of that with the coach, Harvey Hyde. Follow him on Twitter, at Coach Harvey Hyde, or go to his website, harveyhyde.com, to check out all of his content. If you have any questions or comments for us here on the show, we always love to hear from you. Podcast at uscfootball.com is the email address, or if you'd rather call or text us, our number is 424-254-9141. Leave us a voicemail, send us a text. We'll love to read it or play it on the air. And if you have the Apple Podcasting app on your iPhone, please follow the Peristyle Podcast. Leave us a five-star rating and a review. We love that. It really does help grow the show and helps make this a bigger Peristyle Podcast family for all of you guys out there. So hope you can tell your Trojan family and friends about the Peristyle Podcast and listen to the show. We do it all year round, and we always have the coach on once a week, and he's on the line right now. Coach, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. Out here in California, depending where you're listening, it's a beautiful day, a little bit warm. I had to get up and have an early workout, but if I don't get my workout in, you know, I'm guilty all day. I feel guilty all day, but I got it in, and I'm ready to go. And, Ryan, we were at the Coliseum, and we did see a game-like scrimmage, 12-minute quarters with officials, the whole package, and I can't wait to get going.
Yeah, the 12-minute quarters, you know, you had the officials there. I thought it was an interesting way, and I wanted to start with this for you. So we get an announcement in the press box that it wasn't going to be like the ones versus the twos or anything like that. It was actual a draft. So they drafted individual players. Todd Orlando was the head coach of one side, and Graham Harrell was the head coach on the other. I forget which one was Cardinal Gold. Sorry. It doesn't really matter. Obviously, just arbitrary names. But they get to draft the players that they want. And so I thought that was kind of cool in some aspects of it. But the other aspects were the offensive line got broken up, and now you have kind of a piecemeal offensive line on both sides. What did you think overall of the drafting process and how they did the spring game that way?
Well, it sounds interesting, and they try to make it more fun and have two different teams and try to make it competitive. But I don't know if that's the best way to get better. I think a more better way of doing it, and I'm not saying it's the only way of doing it, but one way I would have done it is given one team the first offensive line and the other team the first defensive line, or something like that, where they learn to play together. And the same with linebackers, vice versa, secondary, vice versa, backs the same way, quarterbacks. So that way it can still be an even game, but you're allowing your players to communicate with each other, play with each other, and so on. So, you know, drafting is a good way. I got sort of locked into that my first year at UNLV, and they used to have an alumni game. And, I didn't want to break their tradition. And the alumni would come out. They actually practiced during the spring practice, or no, not with us, but on their own, and they'd come out and play us. And we really didn't get anything out of that. It was more like a show and so on. And one of these guys would say, you know, do this, or we can only run this defense, or whatever. It didn't really, it was a day I have to have. I mean, I can't miss a day of practice, so I've got to do it where we get better. And in this type of situation, I'm not sure if they got better. They were in a game-like situation, but there's a lot of questions that I have on it, yes.
Yeah, well, so one of the aspects was we did see a lot of sacks, and, you know, maybe it's okay to draft linebackers or defensive linemen. The offensive line seemed like a separate deal. Like maybe the offensive line should have been a single unit you could draft like the first team. But we did get an opportunity to see Andrew Voorhees play left tackle. Now, Casey Collier wasn't there. He was normally been the backup left tackle to Cortland Ford. He's not there because his sister was the number one draft, number one pick, overall pick in the WNBA draft. He went to a family event for her. And then once you leave, you're not allowed to come back. You have to be quarantined for a week. So he wasn't eligible to come in and play. So you got to see Andrew Voorhees out there. I wasn't watching him specifically. Our Shotgun Spratling, I talked to him last night a little bit. He went back and tried to watch some of the offensive linemen. Thought Voorhees played really well out there. Who knows, Coach? Maybe this is an opportunity because we didn't really see the offensive line get mixed up like they said they were going to. This was a mix-up for sure, but it was because of a draft. I don't know. Maybe Andrew Voorhees is throwing his name into the hat as far as playing out there at left tackle. I know you've said you'd like to see them just kind of bring in, you know, establish and develop a new left tackle. But I don't know. What did you think of Voorhees playing out there?
Well, first of all, it was an opportunity to do that because Collier wasn't there. So you have two right tackles. You move him over from the guard spot, and you have a chance to watch him. I watched him too carefully. I thought he did pretty good on pass blocking for being his first day out there, and I didn't watch him as much as on the run blocking. But I watched him. I thought he did a pretty good job. That could possibly be the place for him. But let me go back to one thing and tell you, you mentioned it, Collier not being there, leaving also, Evans, the place kicker, wasn't there, too. He had something going on.
Parker Lewis had a – so Parker Lewis had a family thing as well. And then – but it was earlier in the week, and then he came back, but he's got to be quarantined for a week, so he couldn't join the team this past week.
Right. Well, you know, I don't think that's right for everybody. What if everybody had a family thing? I mean, personally – you know, if there's a death in your family or something that's your mother or something that's really serious, but to celebrate what your sister did, congratulations to her. I think that's tremendous. And, you know, a family thing. But to be quarantined and not be able to come back and practice and so on. Remember, I had a problem a couple of years ago when Loris was getting married and had a wedding rehearsal. And they allowed in the missed practice for that. You know, I'm not into that, okay? I'm into, hey, we have 15 days. We got to get better. We can't have any excuses and so on. So, you know, it forced different people to do different things. And I wasn't into that at all. And another thing I noticed and I don't know if this was overlooked or whatever, but the quarterbacks didn't wear different colored jerseys. So it made it very difficult, I think, for the defensive people and for the quarterbacks to know when to slide or not to slide. I think Hassan really hurt himself when he was going out of bounds. He didn't know if he was going to get hit or slide or what to do, and he hurt his leg. You know, I think those are things that you have to be able to think of because it's, you know, when the officials even, it's difficult for them to officiate when you're not supposed to touch the quarterback, but yet you have him in the same color jersey. So, you know, that's another thing I noticed that really was not upsetting me, but I was saying, what are you trying to prove here? You can't hit him, then protect him. So those are a couple of things I wanted to bring up also.
Yeah, that's that was interesting, the, you know, not having the yellow jerseys there. It seemed like they did protect the quarterbacks. When anyone got close, they would blow the play dead, and it would be a sack. But you're right. Typically, you would see a different colored jersey if that player cannot be tackled or touched, and we didn't see that. I guess there's sort of like, hey, that's the quarterback. We know what's going on. But then if the quarterback's taken off and running, yeah, I guess it could be a little confusing for the defense or the officials.
And also, I think the quarterbacks have got to toughen up a little bit too. I think you've got to give them opportunities to run the football, not just blow it dead. They've got to be able to know when to slide, how to slide, where the first down marker is, how far to go. I mean, I got to get a first down on this, when to run out of bounds. All of these different things you've got to practice so that when the game comes, you're used to that. And I didn't see much of that going on either. So I really think it's important to, and I keep saying this all the time, is to carry out your fakes. And we'll get into the pass blocking and all of that later. But these are all little things you have to point out. Where were the down markers? How far did you have to go? How many yards were there? You had to get it when you scramble. So all of these little things you have to have on tape and the learning situations for your entire team.
So we're talking about the quarterbacks. Why don't we kind of evaluate the quarterback play, get your thoughts, Coach. So we saw You know, Keaton Slovis and Jackson Dart were on one side with one of the walk-ons, and then Mo Hassan and Miller Moss were on the other side. You feel Mo Hassan did leave the game with, you know, with the knee injury. He was going to get an MRI Saturday night. We haven't heard the results of that, but hopefully he's okay. That side of the ball, you know, they didn't have a Drake London to throw to. They didn't have Michael Jackson to throw to. They had definitely some issues protecting with the offensive line. And you feel bad for Miller Moss, who after Mo Hassan goes down, when he had a nice drive, a drive and a half, Miller Moss was sort of thrown to the wolves, and he didn't really have anyone else to come in and spell him. And on the other side, they, you know, sort of a slow start for Slovis and Jackson Dart, but then they got things going and scored some touchdowns later on. But overall, you know, what were your take of how the quarterbacks played?
Well, I have mixed emotions. First of all, I don't think Keaton is playing up to his level of what we expect, and a lot of it's because of the harassment as far as the rush and so on he's going through, and the combination of routes that are being thrown, and the amount of time he has to throw the route or throw the ball to read the secondary. I think now he's starting to become a Sam Darnold, where he's trying to make plays happen. He's running around trying to find somebody, which Sam Darnold did the same thing, and Sam Darnold was more of a physical type of kid and was able to make things happen and was a senior and a junior and played linebacker in high school, excuse me, so a different mentality and a different type of kid. He was willing to be a tougher type of person. So I think you've got to let your quarterbacks get toughened up a little bit and get used to that. If they get hit, they're not going to die, okay? And it's just part of learning what's going on and giving him some help as far as the routes you call to become positive. You know, he threw for, 128 yards or whatever he threw for, I'm not sure. But 77 of those yards came on two plays. So, you know, you've got to look at that and evaluate what his production was. But
Keaton, you got it right, Keaton.
All right, Keaton, well, you know, don't be afraid to step in there and correct that, okay?
No, yeah, I will. You're getting it right, Coach. Then, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, one thing, you know, he has a lot of pressure on him. You know, he's had all that success as a freshman and freshman All-American and all Pac-12 freshman. Then he came back last year and, you know, had a good year, had some winning going on, and they made him a captain as a sophomore. I mean, that's a lot of pressure to be a captain and lead the team and make things happen. And I think this year, again, they're pushing him for the Heisman, or at least they talk about it. He's a captain, and he's trying to make things happen. I think he's trying too hard. I like to see him relax and make things happen. Give him a chance with running the football and a lot more play action pass and because they can't block the drop back pass, so you got to be able to establish other things that will make your quarterback successful. If you watch Mo play Hassan, he carries out every single fake. And as I say every week, if they let him run the football, he's not just helping the offense as far as spreading the defense. He's helping the defense. Because when the defense faces teams that run the football, like the kid from Arizona State and Oregon and these other places, you got to practice opening field tackle. You got to practice that on the backside. You just can't all of a sudden do it, or on the front side, the read, the run read, and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, they don't do that, and they're not teaching the complete series and holding the defenders, the defensive backs or the defensive linebackers or ends or whoever has a responsibility for that play. So, you know, I think he needs some help. I thought Hassan, the first quarter, I thought he was the best-looking quarterback out there, personally, okay? Threw a nice touchdown pass, threw two touchdown passes, I think, and ran the team well and so on. And that's because he's a senior and he has less pressure on him. But I thought Dart did a good job. I really did. I think he's a really good player, and he's going to get better every day along with Miller Moss. He's going to get better every day. So, you know, it just, you can't expect those freshmen to be at the same level as guys that have played. So, you know, I think they need help as far as being successful. And we'll talk about that in a moment, I guess.
Yeah, well, good stuff on the quarterbacks, Coach. The guy's blocking them. We actually had a question from Nick. Maybe this will get us into it. He said, I got the sense that the Cardinal team performed better, and I can't help but think that having Justin Dietrich in at guard was one of the reasons why. What were all of your thoughts about the different offensive line combos we saw in the spring game? Thanks from Nick.
Well, Nick, I think we commented briefly on it a moment ago. You know, this is a unit. You know, they have to learn to play together, make their calls together, understand each other, work together. And when you break up that unit completely, it's difficult. You have a different guy. You have a strong guy. You have a second teamer or maybe even a third teamer playing next to you. And if one of them make a mistake, it destroys the whole offensive line's techniques. So it's a difficult thing to do. And I don't think, as I said earlier, you should break up the defensive line or the offensive line. You put them on different teams, whatever. And you try to make it a real success story as far as both having a great scrimmage. The defensive line against the twos offenses, the twos getting challenged to find out who can play. And the offensive line finding out if you can't block the twos, then maybe you can't play. So I think it gives you more of a competitive feeling of playing next to someone you're going to be playing next to. And I don't like mixing up the offensive line, especially the defensive line, maybe, maybe not. But why? Why not let them learn to play together and have that pride that they are trying to build as far as carrying it onto the football field, especially in the fall?
What did you think of the running back situation, Coach? I really liked what I saw from Keyonte Ingram, the transfer from Texas. Stephen Carr maybe had his best practice of the spring. He had some moments there, too. What did you think of the running backs? They did do some two running back sets and stuff, something that you were calling for. Now, maybe that's just because they didn't have as many bodies on at wide receiver, so they were using more two tight ends and two running backs. But give us your thoughts on the running back situation, Coach.
Well, you know, I don't think they're short on running backs. I like the running backs. I really do. I thought Ingram did a great job. He has a different type. He's an outstanding runner, got great moves once he gets outside and he finds a hole. He's not a pounder type of back like Malapi or Carr can be, but he's the type of back that can really break it and has great hands. And can, when he gets in the open field, he's a difficult guy to catch, okay, or tackle. Let me put it to you that way. And I think that showed in Saturday's scrimmage. We haven't got to the secondary yet. And I think that a guy that's a combination type of guy that can hit the hole and also has pretty good moves outside or can find a hole is this Campbell kid. This freshman kid really impresses me. He's not intimidated. He's not afraid to play. He's a tough kid. So I like him. And, you know, Malapi is Mr. Money Man. I call him Money Man, okay? When you want to cash a check, who do you go to? Malapi, especially down in the goal line or short yardages. But I think you got to use him a little bit more as far as two, because I think he's the type of back that people, like they used to, you do lightning and thunder. I'm telling you, the secondary gets used to tackling a linebacker as a power guy. And then when the quick guy comes, like Reggie Bush used to come, their tackling was completely different. Because if they tried to settle down and get in a good tackle position, he was gone. So I think they have those type of players. I like their backs. I think Carr had a good scrimmage. I thought that their problem is not running backs, okay? I don't know if they have a burner. I don't know how fast the fastest running back is. I don't know if they have one of those guys, oh, see you later. See you later. I don't care what the angle is. But they have some that are good as far as an open field, as far as making it difficult for the defense to tackle them.
Yeah, I would say, you know, we didn't see Keaton Christen out there, who was apparently doing track. He would be the burner type of a guy. But, you know, I've talked about this on our Tunnel Vision show, Coach. Him not being out there for track or whatever reason, it's not great for him. There's a lot of fans that wanted to see more of Christen come in there and play. But you mentioned two new guys that are making a name for themselves here while Kristen's not there. So it's sort of like out of sight, out of mind. If these two guys are really impressive, he could drop Kristen even further on the depth chart.
I agree with you. It's not helping him at all. And, you know, he's on a football scholarship, but obviously when they recruited him, they said he could run track. So, you know, I don't know if people remember the O.J. Simpson year and Earl McCullough years. They practiced football all week, and then they ran track on Saturday, okay? And they still won. So I'm not saying that that's the way it is today, but they obviously made a commitment to him that he could do that. So that's what he's doing, and I'm surprised. He must be looking at maybe his futures in track and field rather than football. But those are decisions that he has to make. But, you know, the only reason I'd let that happen is if I committed to that in recruiting. That's the only way.
Yeah. You know, breaking news, Drake London's a stud. So, yeah, we all know that. What did you think of the wide receiver play overall, Coach?
Well, I tell you, Brew McCoy's a player. Boy, I tell you, when he's on the field, and if you have Drake Jackson or London on the field at the same time, I said, whoo! I'm going to tell you, he can play, and he's starting to, for the amount of practice he's had and turns he's had, he's got great hands, he's got great size. I'm not sure about his speed. I think he's probably in, you know, I don't want to insult anyone. I think he's probably a 4.55, but because I haven't seen him run a 40 or seen him try to run away from anybody. But he's a great slant receiver, great corner receiver. Can go up and catch a football. I really like him, okay? And I don't have to tell you anything more about London. I mean, he's going to be a superstar. He's a great receiver because he's big. He's got great hands. He's going to be a real great target. But he's going to see a lot of double coverage. So, again, you know, he caught a couple of passes in double coverage, and he got it done. But I like him. And, well, everybody likes him, okay? The NFL will look at him as how fast he is, okay? How fast is he? Can he run the streak route and so on? So I liked him. The thing that surprised me the most, I think, was Nixon, as far as the amount of times he got on the field. The kid from Colorado didn't catch one pass the entire game. A transfer kid that came in, and I told you way back when he transferred, if you're going to take a kid that's a senior, you better get him to contribute. And all he did all day was catch punts and kickoffs. Fair catch them all, so he didn't even have to shower, okay? So he didn't really get many turns at anything. Bryant, you know, he's your burner, he's your speed guy, and he pulled a hamstring or whatever. So you didn't really see him out there. Michael Jackson, the third from Las Vegas, Desert Pines, he's one of the surprise players in the spring. He really is. I didn't know he had such good hands, and he's mature, very mature. He steps right in there and plays. And I'll tell you, there's a difference of playing high school football and college football. There's a difference, and I think he's done a great job. Trying to think who I might have forgot there. Who else? Did I forget someone?
So you're talking about Michael Jackson, right, the third.
John Jackson, 80.
Yeah,
I like
he had
him.
A couple catches.
I like him. I do. I like him. I think he, you know, he's a football player. I really like him. He's a good football player. Now, as far as what are you going to call the tight ends? Are they receivers or blockers? I don't know. I just call him a guy that's an H-back. That's a blocker. Okay? Just in a different type of position. I don't know. I'd move him up and play him on tight end because why would you allow these guys, Drake Jackson and these guys or whoever it is, to take a run when you're a yard off the line of scrimmage? I get up there and stop him right on the line of scrimmage and block or place him. I teach him. I put a tackle there or somebody. You're not going to throw the ball. So put somebody there that can block or do something because I'm not sure. I know Follow had one pass thrown to him, but I'm not sure if the tight end had any other passes thrown to him.
There was Lake McCree sighting. He caught a pass or two, I think.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know what they plan on doing with their tight ends. You know, I can't get into talking too much about formations and so on, but I would like to have seen more goal line situations as far as, you know, actually saying, okay, at halftime, when we come back, each team's going to run 10 goal line plays. I mean, where that other line means more than all the others. This is the line. And, you know, you're getting your double tight or whatever their philosophy is going to be. And, you know, an eye, power, whatever, under center, not under center, whatever you do, and pound it in there. Work on your goal line situation. I think your defense needs it too, and the offense needs it. You know, a couple of plays that maybe are series of things that you won't really see during a scrimmage because you don't get in that situation. So, but you still have to practice it to be able to get better at it. So I think that's something. I'd like to see Griffin, the punter, become more consistent. His first punt was 42 yards, I think, and then he had a 50-yarder. When he becomes more consistent, he is going to be a fabulous kicker.
Yeah, it was hard to judge special team stuff because there was all fair catches and everything, like you mentioned. But, yeah, I thought it was, you know, overall, there was some slow stuff with the offense at first. They got a little things going, at least on one side of the ball. You feel bad for the, you know, Mo Hassan side. They just weren't able to get anything going after he went down. But, yeah, overall pretty good. Well, why don't we take a quick break, and we'll talk about the defense when we come back.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a CAN model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
All right, we're back here on the Peristyle Podcast. Coach, we talked about the offensive side of the ball a lot. Bunch of guys on the defensive line. Why don't we start with the defensive line to see, you know, defensive end Tuipulotu. I thought he played pretty well. You got guys like defensive, you know, lineman Jay Toya made a name for himself. Dijon Benton, you know, number 79 out there. Like the way he played. Of course, you know, Drake Jackson was Drake Jackson. But what do you think overall defensive line?
Well, I think they play hard. And I like the way their defensive line coach coaches them. It's no nonsense. They're close. He's going to judge them in these type of situations. They play hard for him. He's a no-nonsense type of guy, which you have to be as far as coaching the defensive line. Orgeron was more vocal than he is, but he wants production. He doesn't want you to talk about it. And I think those three people you mentioned, I didn't think you noticed that Benton was getting around the football pretty good. I mean, here's a guy that's a little bit unknown as far as to our audience and to football people, but I thought he has really played well the last couple of weeks. He flew around pretty good and did a good job. I think Drake Jackson, I think he's a good football player, but he could be a great football player. I mean, better than what he is. I know everybody was excited. The media was excited. He made three plays in a row or so. And I like to see him make every play in the row. I'd like to see him say, we can't go that way. We got to double team him on every play. We got to run the other way. And I might even put him to the wide side of the field. So the short side of the field is nothing but defensive people anyway. And let him go. Just let him go. You know, when you can go and you know there's nothing coming back, no jet series, no counter series, no quarterback keep or run or anything, but then you don't have any rules on the backside. I saw him check, kept his shoulders square and so on. He went down the line of scrimmage actually pretty hard, faster than what he would be able to do if he was playing a team that or a scrimmage where the quarterback would come back and run the ball, because there would be nobody there. but I like to see the pressure he puts on people. I like to see him play 100% all the time. Don't take any plays off. I think the NFL people look at that. Who takes a play off? When the play's away, are you taking the play off? You can't take a play off. And I know the defensive line coach is going to be screaming and yelling at that too. You don't take plays off. If you become tired, come out of the game. I'll put somebody in for you. But if you're out there, you're going to play hard. And I think that's what he's getting out of these guys, is playing hard. But again, as I said earlier in the conversation regarding the offense has got to help the defense as far as it's able to contain. Because you saw the quarterback come out many times and run, where they lost contain on the quarterback as far as in the passing game. And you can't lose contain, because you're going to have big plays on big downs when it's 3rd and 8 or 3rd and 6, and you lose contain, and then the quarterback's going to run and get that first down. You can't do that. You've got to have your guys rush to the outside. Yes, you can make an inside move occasionally, but not when you lose contain, because you got to push everything back to the guys coming up the middle. So, I just look at those little type of things that really are going to make a difference.
Coach, I'd love to watch Vic Soto coach. It's been great to see him. I think he's an awesome addition to the staff, and he's getting a lot out of this young defensive line. What about the linebacker play? Anything stand out for you there?
Well, I think they're flying around. I think they're doing a good job. This one kid got an interception. I forget his name.
Spencer Gilbert, yeah.
Yeah, Gilbert got an interception, and I forget who threw it to him. I think it was it?
That was Dart. I believe Jackson. I think it was Jackson, yeah. Dart. Yeah, I think Dorian Hewitt picked off Keaton Slovis. I believe it was Chris Steele picked off Miller Moss, and then Spencer Gilbert picked off Jackson Dart. Maybe I mixed those up, but I believe that's what it was.
Well, whatever it was, he didn't have to do much to get that interception. The quarterback threw him the ball. He must have thought he was the receiver. That was a poor decision on the part of the quarterback. Again, if you got a bad problem, throw the ball out of bounds or try to get a yard or two out of it or whatever. But, congratulations to him as far as the turnovers. The defense had, 4 or 5 turnovers. You got to have turnovers. But again, some of those were handed to him, okay? I think that's really important. And the linebackers, it's hard to watch it all. You know what I mean? It's hard to watch it all, and they're all down there flying around. So I really can't tell you more about the linebackers.
You know, I felt the same way, Coach, where I was like, what were they really doing? But Clay Helton afterwards was like praising the linebacker play. And I was like, maybe I missed some of the great linebacker play. It was a little harder to watch that, missing some guys out there like Jordan Isefa and Solomon Tuialapupu and stuff. But, guys I noticed was in the secondary. So maybe switch to that and see what you thought of the DBs.
Well, I thought they really covered well. I really did. I think they did a great job. The passes that were completed for touchdowns, or some of the passes, London had a great pass. It wasn't a touchdown. But, hey, they were around them. It wasn't like they broke down. I mean, if you remember in the past, guys would be running wide open. You say, oh, my gosh, who has that guy? Complete breakdown. You didn't see any of that Saturday. And then a lot of reasons why they had a lot of sacks was because nobody was open, and there's nobody was there for him to dump the ball off, and the timing wasn't there. So I thought the secondary did a good job. Now, where the secondary has to improve is I didn't think their tackling was very good at all. The yards after the catch were horrendous. Open field tackling I didn't think was real good. Poor. But again, the only way you get better at that is scrimmage and do it. And I think if the coach was listening to me, he's already screamed and yelled at him and showing him the film anyway already on that. Got to settle up. You're going to give up a completion occasionally. And when you do, you can't have him give up any more yards. You got to just make the tackle. And a lot of these guys weren't in position to make the tackle after the catch. So I thought the secondary did a good job. I really think they did a good job. And, there's a lot of starters that aren't out there. But I think a lot of these young guys like this Joshua Jackson, I'm telling you, I think he's going to – I don't know who's going to beat him out. But I thought he did had a great job, and Steele's much better. He had one pass interference, but I think he's got better body control, and he's not feeling as much as where. Where's the receiver? He always used to feel him. He's got to be in the right position to know what's going on. So I think he had a good scrimmage. And, you know, the other guys, the nickelback, I think he had a good.
Isaiah Polamalu.
I like him, and I like him coming on the blitz. He's a tough guy, okay? I like tough guys. And he's a tough guy, loves the game of football. Not that the other guys aren't tough. But he stands out as that type of player for me, and I like that.
Yeah, I like the way he played. I mean, the USC's offense, I saw this in practice too. I was there on Tuesday, Coach. When they have a blitzer, like the nickel guy coming, you know, he's covering the slot near the line of scrimmage, and when he blitzes, the offense didn't seem to have much of an answer for that, you know?
No, they're in trouble. They're in trouble because he's looking forward to this. He doesn't get to do that much. He likes to do that. And you got to have guys that like to do that. And, you know, you got to be able to notice that. And I don't think they audibleize at all. So I don't know if they could get out of any of that stuff or if they're just scrimmaging along. I don't know if they have a script or not. In practice a lot, we used to have scripts. So we would know, they would know what play we're going to run, and it was easier to watch film, too, because we knew what play was coming next, and the defense knew what to look for, and we had certain coverages put on certain deep plays we were going to run so we could coach better and be able to teach better. But I don't know if they do that. I'm sure they do.
Yeah. So looking back on the scrimmage, you kind of went through all the position groups, just kind of checking out what you saw there. Anything sort of stand out to you? Anything else you want to add from what you saw in the spring game?
Well, I think they have to get their running game going. I think they're trying. They're attempting it, but they've got to continue working at it in a different way. They've got to be able to, help it. They got to help it with maybe they're doing it on purpose. I don't know. But they're not doing anything to hold the backside. They have no counteraction whatsoever, counter sweep or jet or the slot back coming around or anything. They don't have that. I haven't seen them throw really a screen pass the entire spring. I mean, if you're going to be a passing football team, you got to be a great screening football team. I mean, a great one. You got to be a great screening. You got to be a great draw team. Now, they ran a draw, they got 6 yards, one play, and they never came back with it again. So if you're having a lot of pass rush, you got to hold the damn defensive line. You got to say, wait, hold up a minute, man. When I'm going this way, you're going that way. So remember, when you're coming up the line of scrimmage, you're coming hard. It's very hard to dip your shoulder to get back into the play. So you've got to be able to do plays, run plays to slow down the rush. You got to do that. You got to have screens. You got to make the defense run. You got to have draws. You got to have play action pass. And, you know, I don't know if they've really developed a series on the running game. I mean, they did a lot of, you know, powers and some blasts and so on with the H-back doing a lot of blocking, but no bootleg action whatsoever as far as bootleg run or coming back the other way to hold the backside. And not much pistol at all, which is something that's really good, or even eye or something different. So, you got to be a running team today. We've talked about it all the time, and I think they worked on it, but they've got to continue having a good philosophy on what they're trying to attain and do.
Yeah, and then sometimes, you're not really sure if you're really – are you trying to, help the defense, you're trying to help the offense. It's – we didn't see a lot of that stuff. And, some of it might just be because the offensive lines were all mixed and matched and everything. So some of it was it's a little different, but, for the most part, I just came away just positive, Coach. I like the fact that it was more of a game. I thought they could have done that the last few years. This, it was, maybe the draft thing's a little weird, but the competitiveness, I like doing that than just like running a practice and putting on the Pac-12 network.
Oh, I like it. I liked it. Oh, yeah, that's 100% better than what they did before. I mean, I agree with you 100%. And, you know, they mixed up the teams, but at least they had a game-like situation. So, you know, the Cardinal, they got the steaks, and the Gold got the hot dogs.
Yeah. You at least remembered. I didn't even remember which team, like, won there. One last thing, Coach, unless you have anything else. But Shotgun mentioned this on our Tunnel Vision show on Sunday night. It's also a neat opportunity because, you know, Todd Orlando's name has come up before for a head coaching job. Graham Harrell's name has come up. He's interviewed for head coaching jobs. You're not the head coach of a team, but you kind of play like one. Can you gain some experience? Is it good for the development of your staff to split it up that way and let, you know, some of the other assistants call the plays and all that? You know, kind of change everyone's role a little bit.
Well, yeah, you do that. I like my coordinators, excuse me, calling the game, but yeah, you do change it. You give somebody an opportunity to have a little experience of doing that. You sometimes find out that the other guy doing it is not as easy as what he thought it was. And you got to be really good at being a coordinator, knowing the timing and the rhythm and what's going on, and be a play ahead of everybody. And when we hit the red zone, you ask the head coach, do I have the extra down or not? Be on top of everything. And it's okay. I mean, it's okay. And they did it, and it worked for them, I'm sure. So, you know, I can't be critical on that.
All right, Coach. Well, good stuff. It was fun to be out there and check out the game. It was fun to see some fans in the stands. It just felt a little more normal, you know. It felt like we're getting close.
It sure did, buddy. And I think the fans had a good time. I know I had a good time. I thought they did the press box first class, is the way they spread us around. And I thought that was first class. And it was a beautiful day. And there wasn't any traffic. When you have 5,000 people in the Coliseum, there isn't any traffic, okay?
Yeah.
And they had a soccer game going on, but there was no problem with that. So it was a great day. Great day.
Yeah. All right, Coach. Well, hey, good stuff. It was fun to be able to be out there with you. We look forward to the next 2 weeks of spring football practice and head into the long off season. But good stuff. That is the Coach, Harvey Hyde. I am Ryan Abraham. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Peristyle Podcast. Hope you enjoyed the show, and we will talk to you next time.
The Rose Bowl Legacy Foundation preserves, protects, and enhances the future of the Rose Bowl Stadium as a National Historic Landmark. America's Stadium has hosted two Olympic Games, with a third one coming in 2028, two World Cup Finals, five Super Bowls, and the granddaddy of them all, the Rose Bowl, since 1923. It is the epic center of college football and is the most iconic stadium in the world. To learn more about how you can support the Rose Bowl Stadium as it turns 100 years young, visit www.insbire, which spells inspire, 2022.org.
You've been listening to the Peristyle Podcast, presented by USCFootball.com. Be sure to tune in next week for the latest news on Trojan football and recruiting. And don't forget, you can automatically download the podcast directly to your smartphone or tablet for free. Just click the iTunes link on peristylepodcast.com or search for Peristyle Podcast at the iTunes Music Store.
From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount+.
Yes!